Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5.
Merry Christmas!
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Friendship Show here on KX93.5. My name is Mark Miller. I'll be your host for the next 60 minutes of community-supported radio. This hour is sponsored by Friendship Shelter. What's our new tagline, Amanda Pointer?
Ending homelessness one person at a time.
There it is, ringing the new year with that. Bum-ba-da-dum, bum-ba-da-dum. Little confusion at the top of the show. Apparently no one thought we were coming in to do a show.
Well, it is Christmas Eve after all, so I don't blame them.
Right, so they programmed everything over the top of us.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna work with it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Christmas is almost here.
It's the most beautiful time of the year. No, wait, the most wonderful time of the year.
Is that what it is?
I think that's how it goes.
Last night I watched How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I turned on the TV. That was on.
You did?
Fun.
Aw, was it the Jim Carrey?
No, I would never watch that.
Wouldn't?
No.
He's really good in that.
Oh, I think he's creepy and scary. No, I watched the original How the Grinch Stole Christmas,
Dr.
Seuss.
Oh, wow.
And his heart grew 3 times that day.
Aww.
And all the Whos down in Whoville sang and sang and sang. Tori Dola. Whatever they do.
I wish I could match you there. I don't know any quotes from that.
The bar is pretty low. I'm surprised you can't. We weren't going to do a Christmas show this morning, but you were sort of the one who said it's Christmas.
I'm here.
Rain, sleet, or hail.
I thought, why not? I'm in town.
I think it's a great idea. We've never done in 4 years. We've never done a Christmas show.
Really?
No, we're in uncharted territory right now.
Oh wow! I hope we're not going to ruin everything.
We are breaking. We are breaking ground. Well, we may have just erased 20 hours of radio programming, but. We'll see how that goes. Are you all ready for Christmas?
I am. I finally bought all of the presents that I needed. I still need to wrap them, however, and it's giving me a little bit of anxiety.
And how does your family do it? Do you open presents on Christmas Eve or do you open presents on Christmas Day?
We are diehard Christmas morning people.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
That's so funny because I'm diehard Christmas Eve.
Really?
Yep.
How did that split in tradition happen, I wonder?
I don't know. That would be interesting.
Because growing up, when I found out that people open presents on Christmas Eve, I lost my mind when I was a kid. I was like, what? So they don't wake up and jump on their parents' bed and freak out in the morning? And
no.
What about Santa? When does Santa come?
Well,
I believed in Santa till I was like 14 years old.
Okay. Wow. Well, here's the way it happens. That on Christmas Eve, you have people over and then you have some sort of like traditional Christmas Eve kind of food to eat, right?
Right.
And then you open presents on Christmas Eve and you get all that taken care of and you have a nice little Christmas Eve party. Uh-huh. And then you wait for, you know, Christmas morning. Mm-hmm. I'd say this. I've been known to get up and go to midnight mass.
Oh, wow. That's very devoted of you.
I like a good show. And let me tell you this. The Catholics, they throw down a midnight mass like nobody's business.
Right.
It is a spectacular show.
Beautiful and spiritual all at the same time.
Oh, my gosh. I used to go to the cathedral.
Ooh, I can dig it.
Where there's 100 Christmas trees and they're all lit. And,
right.
You know, like camels walking around.
Camels and shepherds.
Exactly. It's just like, oh, my gosh, this is Christmas. So you do that, and then you go to bed. And then when you wake up in the morning, Santa may bring you a present that's underneath the tree.
Okay.
But mostly Santa, it puts things in your stocking.
But mostly Santa is not real.
No, of course he's real.
But mostly that's just not a real thing.
No, mostly he's real, but...
I'm just kidding. Sorry, it's early. More coffee.
But he doesn't bring you, 20 presents.
I was pretty spoiled.
Yeah, and he brings you something for Christmas morning.
Fair enough.
Think about it.
No, that makes sense.
There's a lot of kids. Like, Santa can't bring every kid 20 presents. I'm surprised, like, it took you to 14 to figure that out.
I always wondered how my puppy survived in the sleigh.
Oh, really? Did you get a puppy when you were for Christmas?
Yeah.
Cute.
Really cute.
Last year, my niece got a rabbit.
Really?
Yeah.
What color?
What color is that rabbit? I think he's like, I don't know. I've seen it too, and I don't know.
And you can't recall?
I can't remember. Huge rabbit. Huge rabbit. Okay, so when we decided that we were going to have a Christmas show this morning, then it's like, well, who are we going to get as a guest, right?
Right.
And I think there's a couple of things. One is, like, we've never done a Christmas show, and it's Christmas. So I think you have to get, like, a legit guest.
Sure.
Do you know
absolutely,
what I mean?
Yes.
It's an important person. And then there's also kind of this other part of it, of, like, who's going to come up? Who's going to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and come in and do a show for us?
Right, on Christmas Eve.
Right. So
someone very special.
Yeah. So we've got a great guest this morning, because I've known this man. I've known this man for probably 6 years.
Oh, wow. Cool.
He has done one of the coolest things that anyone has ever done for Friendship Shelter.
and he
has continued to do it. He's been doing it for 6 years.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to hear about this.
Yeah. So, and then, but I've known him for probably 5 or 6 years. It's only been really in the last year or so that I've really sort of gotten to know him and work with him.
Cool.
And it's probably only been like the last 8 or 9 months that he actually likes me.
It does take a little while.
It's a slow warm up.
I doubt that, Mark.
But it's really an oversight that he hasn't been on the show up until this point. And so I was really happy that we could reserve this show.
First time guest.
Yeah. A first time guest to have him on the show. So how about we do this? Let's take a music break.
Okie doke.
And when we get back, the one, the only, Mr. James Dockstetter is going to be right here in the studios at Friendship Shelter. All right? Yay. Let's see how this goes, Amanda P.
All right. See you in a sec.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, prospera año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, prospera año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Friendship Show here on KX 93.5. My goodness, it's a good thing Ida May's not here to hear that.
She wouldn't have liked that one. It's too intense.
She would have an epileptic seizure if she had to hear that. Ooh, rocking around the Christmas tree this morning. Who was that?
I don't know, but it was fun.
I knew you would like that. All right. Here we are doing our very first Christmas show on Friendship, on the Friendship Show.
Ho, ho, ho.
So happy to do this with you.
I know, it's so fun. It's a special
Christmas,
day.
Christmas Eve morning. All right, our Christmas guest is the one, the only, James Dockstetter is here. Good morning, Mr.
Yay.
Dockstetter. Let's get him on the microphone. Good morning, Mr. Dockstetter.
Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for getting up and coming in so early this morning.
No problem.
This is your first time on Friendship Show.
It's my first time on Friendship Show. It's my first time on radio.
Oh, really?
Yes.
My goodness.
This is exciting.
I'm so happy we could bring this little Christmas cheer to you.
I'm happy to be here.
You live in Laguna Beach?
I do not. My office is down the block, but I don't live in Laguna Beach.
Where do you live?
Laguna Niguel.
Oh, you do?
15 minutes away. Yeah.
Where in Laguna Niguel?
Near Golden Lantern and Crown Valley.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Don't you live over there?
We're neighbors.
How about that? In more ways than one.
Uh-huh. Exactly, because your office is just down the street from my office.
Yes.
And I live off of Golden Lantern and Del Avion.
Well, that's very close to me. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Marina Hills? Is that where you're
guys?
No. I live over by Ocean Ranch.
Oh, okay, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I aspire to live in Marina Hills. But for now, I live over by Ocean Ranch.
How fun.
Yeah, that's nice. So where do you shop? Where do you buy your groceries?
I go to Whole Foods and I go to Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. And I go, unfortunately, to Gelson's. Gelson's is great. But I go buy it twice a day and sometimes have to stop.
And now there's two, right?
Yeah.
So when you shop at Trader Joe's, you use the Trader Joe's over by Ocean Ranch?
Correct.
And when you shop at Whole Foods, you use the one over on Aliso?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, that's a
happening spot.
That's a palace. It's a whole...
Strange to say that, but it's happening.
That's a Whole Food palace over there.
It is.
That is a spectacular
a lot
Whole
of
Foods.
People.
It's a scene.
They've got their own restaurant. Mm. They've got. Can you get a glass of wine in that restaurant? I've never eaten there.
Oh yeah.
They have amazing fruit tarts there. Have you had their fruit tarts?
Probably.
Oh, they're just to die for.
Probably. If you also go over to, you know, in that area where that Whole Foods is, my favorite Vietnamese restaurant is over there. Have you ever been to Pho the Bowl?
No.
And then there's a.
I've been to Signature Desserts on Golden Lantern. Which is a good place for you to know about. Yeah,
I've never been there. And then there's a Middle Eastern grocery store over Whole...
Not anymore.
Yeah, there is.
I went by it the other day.
That Wholesome Food?
Yeah.
Wholesome Choice?
Yeah, sorry.
It's gone?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you were telling me about
the
other day?
It was there for a very short time. Maybe they're remodeling. I don't know. You'll have to check it out. But they were boarded up when I went by the other day.
I will just say this. There's a Wholesome Choice over in Irvine on Culver, which is a fantastic grocery store, and better than the one that they opened in Laguna Niguel. Hmm. But the only place that I know in Southern Orange County you can get Persian food.
It was cool for Laguna Niguel. We briefly flirted with being cooler and hipper, and now it's gone.
Right. And elections have consequences, my friend.
That's right.
That's out of here. All right. Well, that's good to know. We're neighbors. Gelson's. I love me some Gelson's.
Yeah.
Which you shop at the new one or you shop at the original one?
Old school.
The old school one?
The new one isn't Gelson's yet for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. It's not quite the same. And I always judge Gelson's by, the deli and the steam tables and all of that sort of thing. Right? Can we agree on this? I don't care what you buy at Gelson's. You're not going to walk out of there for less than $60. I saw a lady come up with three lemons and an avocado, and I swear it was $60.
But she really needed them. So.
They were beautiful. All right. you have been a friend to Friendship Shelter for 6 years, longer?
6 or 7, something like that, yeah.
And for people who may not know, you designed a community garden for a property that we have in San Clemente called Henderson House.
That's right, yeah. Myself and a team of other people had a vision, and Friendship Shelter really took the lead on this. They did a really interesting thing at their property. They wanted to find ways to reach out to the bigger neighborhood, and along with the city and the Ecology Center and San Clemente Green, made it happen, developed a community garden on your property for not just your residents, but for the neighborhood and for the community. And it was a kind of a interesting visionary idea, and it's worked beautifully. It's successful and has made that neighborhood stronger.
How did you come to be involved in that?
I think
that as your idea. I certainly think of you as like the person who got it done.
Well, yeah, but before that, it was the idea of the Friendship Shelter and the city of San Clemente, because this was a neighborhood that needed, had some challenges and needed something positive in the neighborhood, and came up with this idea. And they involved the Ecology Center and San Clemente Green and myself at the time as Orange County Food Not Lawns. But I knew people at the Ecology Center. Bill Rowley, a local permaculture expert, was involved. I knew him. So through various connections, I participated.
For people who do you call that the Los Maris neighborhood? There's a name for the community.
Yeah.
It's the Los Maris neighborhood,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For people who may not know, right, Friendship Shelter owns 2 apartment buildings. Right now, those 2 apartment buildings are being used for permanent supportive housing for transitional-aged youth. There are young people between the ages of 18 and 25 who live in those apartments, and then they have services on-site or services brought in so that they can remain housed in those units. And those are all young people living with some sort of disability, either a mental health disability or a physical disability. The neighborhood that we're in, you described it as a challenging neighborhood, which is a nice way to put it, right? I mean, let's be honest. It's a poor neighborhood. The buildings are run down. There has been gang activity and violence in the neighborhood. People have been shot in that neighborhood.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, for me, I think, you know, the interesting thing is I love the idea that when an organization like Friendship Shelter with other partners can come into a neighborhood like this, where frankly, you know, not a lot of people want to deal with it, right? You just put some walls around it and hope that it doesn't spill out, right? But Friendship Shelter has a unique opportunity to be a leader in this community,
right?
And I think sometimes, you know, when you have these kinds of programs that Friendship Shelter has, if you take it into a different neighborhood, the neighborhood sometimes will say, well, we don't want that here. Frankly, we think it brings our neighborhood down a little bit and creates more problems than it solves. But in the Los Maris neighborhood of San Clemente, I believe that we are not just solving problems for our tenants in that neighborhood. We are trying to solve problems for the entire community, and everyone benefits from that.
That's right.
You agree with that?
I do, and actually we literally took the walls down. This area where the garden is was fenced off and had a gate. Even though a lot of people walked through before the garden to the bus stop or to Trader Joe's, we literally erased those boundaries. Mm-hmm. And now the neighborhood can come anytime they want, spend time in the garden, walk through on their way to something else. And while they're doing that, interact with the people who are in the garden, interact with the residents, interact with each other. And it's become a real positive focus for the neighborhood. And it's enjoyed kind of a protected, safe kind of status in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. a positive thing. So I would agree with that, and that was part of the original goal, is to bring the residents together with the neighborhood, bring the neighborhood together with people who are there from San Clemente Green or volunteers like myself, and it's really done that in a lot of different ways, I think.
I think it's just the idea that, like, there's somebody cares about your neighborhood. Do you know what I mean? Someone wants this to be better. Someone wants to see this to be improved. And I love the idea that this community garden that was created is a safe place.
Yes.
This is,
and you know, community gardens everywhere kind of do that on their own. This is unique, I think, in a lot of different ways. One is that it's a shared garden. It's not a community garden where you have your own space and you take care of it and it's yours and you harvest it. This is a garden for everybody. And anybody who walks through can pick a lemon or get some lemongrass for their cold or sit and read or do whatever they want. Some people do guerrilla planting in there. They bring chayote and plant it without...
Guerrilla planting?
Guerrilla planting.
Is that an term.
That's an urban term?
It's an urban term. And so it's everybody kind of owns it in a way, and everybody in the neighborhood. And not just Friendship Shelter, not just me, but it's everybody's. And I think that's a real good feeling for everybody.
Yeah. I agree with you. Everyone participates in it. I will have to say that lots of times when I'm there, you do seem to be the person in charge. And you do seem to be sort of the person who knows what they're doing, probably more so than anyone. So can we take a quick music break and then we get back? I'd like to talk about your experience and why this is important to you personally. Here's some more gardening stories from you. Can we do that?
Sure.
All right. You're listening to The Friendship Show here on KX93.5. It's our very first Christmas show. We'll be back right after this with Jim Dockstetter.
It's cool to like bands before everyone else. We promise. New music on KX93.5.
Promise a dawn. I was the morning after. You were Jesus Christ, my Lord. I was the money lender. You were the sensuous woman. The very Reverend Freud. You were the manual orgasm. I was the dirty little boy. And is this what you wanted? To live in a house that is haunted by the ghost of you and me. Is this what you wanted? To live in a house that is haunted by the ghost of you and me. You were Marlon Brando. And
place what you wanted to live in, a house that is haunted by the ghost of you and me. Is this what you wanted to live in, a house that is haunted by the ghost of you and me? You got old and wrinkled, I stayed 17.
Welcome back to the Friendship Show here on KX93.5. My name is Mark Miller. I'm here with my co-host, Amanda Pointer.
Merry Christmas.
Is this what you want to live in, a house that is haunted?
There we go. I'm over that.
Oh, sorry. I thought you really liked that song, Mark.
I do really like it, but it was just going on too long, and I can't talk over it. I was saying we're here doing our very first Christmas show.
Yes, it's so exciting.
And it is, and we are hanging on by a thread, people. okay, this just in, we do have followers for the show. So I am getting my Christmas critiques and reviews in. This important question from a Christmas listener. Do you think smoked oysters should be served at room temperature or chilled?
I'm the wrong person to ask that question. I don't really eat seafood that much.
You don't?
Not
what's wrong?
Not
with
that
you?
Kind of seafood.
Oh, not that. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean that kind?
Like I have salmon and shrimp, and okay. That's about it.
All right, Jim Dockstetter is our guest this morning. Mr. Dockstetter, smoked oysters, chilled or room temperature?
I have no personal experience, but I would say that every time I've ever seen it, it's always on ice on the shell. Mm-hmm. So I would guess that's the thing to do.
Okay. All right. You guys have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't.
First of all, smoked oysters are never served in a shell, and they should be served at room temperature.
Wow.
Room temperature. Room temperature. Now, I understand, like, if it's, like, you know, fresh oysters on a half shell, smoked oysters are usually tinned.
Oh.
Does that help you?
It will not be useful to me ever.
I love smoked oysters. I don't think it's Christmas until unless you have smoked oysters. Okay, this also in. Bun Bun is the name of the rabbit that my niece got for Christmas. He's gray and white, and he's housebroken.
Get out.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. He's housebroken. I don't know what that even means. What does that mean?
I thought I was the only one.
Does that mean, like, he only, like, poops in a litter box or something?
Yeah, maybe he's learned how to flush the toilet.
he does use his ears like appendages. All right. Our guest this morning is Jim Dockstetter. Jim Dockstetter was one of the very important people who helped develop a community garden down in the Los Maris neighborhood of San Clemente, where Friendship Shelter owns property and has a permanent supportive housing project that we're part of down there. This isn't, Jim, I don't feel like this is your first foray into developing community gardens or being a part of these kinds of community development projects in neighborhoods. Is that true?
That's right. I have an interest in them generally, and I've developed some school gardens, some school edible gardens for local schools, including here in Laguna, the Willowbrook campus of Annalise. I helped them with their awesome garden.
Get out of here.
No. Have you been there?
The one where, like, a tree grows through the middle of the building?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. When I first moved to Laguna Beach, I used to say, like, the only thing I want to do is work at Annalise School.
Yes. My girls went there.
Did they?
And so we loved it. They're great. They have great gardens, and they really have a sensibility, you know, about these kinds of things and helping kids learn to be in the garden and learn what it is and participate. So so they've done that, and they've done that for years. But in Orange County, a lot of schools are starting to develop gardens as part of their campus amenities and their curriculum. And the Ecology Center is helping a lot of those with the great program. But I've done, I think, 4 or 5 school gardens, help them come up with a design and what they want in it and how they want to use it, and then develop a conceptual plan that they can take to the district and get approval for. And it's in the air. People want to do these things. And like in Northern California, pretty soon it'll be kind of expected in Orange County that when your kid goes to school, there's an edible garden, which is great. Wow.
What's your personal interest? Why is this so interesting to you?
Well, I think it's important, first of all. I think gardens can help build community. They can help strengthen neighborhoods. They can help families do things together. It's healthy. It's an important skill to know, you know, how to grow food, how to grow things, how to harvest. I think it's important from a lot of standpoints, and it's just fun. I mean, everybody loves to get out and garden. Everybody loves to share their harvest and talk to people about it. So it's fun personally. It's important, I think, in the broader sense, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Gardening is fun.
Gardening is fun.
It's a lot of fun,
and it's fun to help people discover it and learn skills and spread knowledge and trade knowledge too. Because at the community garden, I learn a heck of a lot from people who come through the garden and have different kinds of expertise. So it's a real exchange. Garden can be a point of exchange.
Are you an ecologist?
No, not in the capital E sense.
Oh, really?
I believe in that as an important component when developing gardens of any kind, understanding kind of the ecology of the site and what's the water doing, what's the soil doing, what's the wildlife that needs to be there or wants to be there, and microclimates and all that. I think that's important for any kind of garden.
Isn't that especially, you know, when you talk about community gardens, right? You know, I mean, it becomes such a microcosm, doesn't it? When you talk about those kinds of things, about what needs to be here, what wants to be here, what are you displacing by being here?
Right.
How are you going to make this thrive? And then what, you know? And then what's going to be the harvest?
Right.
It's such a good way to look at the bigger world, isn't it?
It is, and more people are asking for that, because I do other kinds of projects too. I do public projects and I do private residences, and everybody's more interested these days, not just in water conservation, but in providing, you know, habitat for birds or pollinators. Or things that are useful from different standpoints, like can I eat it? Is it medicinal? What's it do? What's its purpose? And so in non-edible gardens, people are interested in that. But in edible gardens, too, that people have on their properties or that at schools or in community gardens, we're thinking more and more about bigger picture things, you know, permaculture ideas, food forests, where the understory supports the orchard, and we invite pollinators, and we think about living soil more, and really, really good old school stuff that used to be common knowledge, but now we're kind of relearning it. So those in the gardens we've been doing, community gardens, school gardens, and also at Henderson House, we're thinking more and more about permaculture and food forest principles.
What's permaculture?
Thinking about the landscape in a kind of a holistic way, and realizing all the interactions that have to happen, the carbon cycles, the water cycles, the living components of the soil, and how to sustain them in the best, you know, most efficient way possible. Harvesting water is part of that. proper treatment of the soil, you know, not using harsh commercial chemicals as fertilizers, but things that are more organic. All that kind of thing is part of permaculture.
And,
a deeper understanding of plant and animal life.
It's how the world should be.
Right?
The circle of life.
It's the way it used to be.
I know it, right?
Yeah.
Do we have a community garden here in Laguna?
Oh, my gosh.
We have great ones.
We do?
You know who runs the... I'll give him credit for it. You know who runs the big one right on PCH is Tommy J.
Really? I did not know that. I don't even know that there is one.
Tommy J is a big deal in that garden.
Oh, you have to go there.
Okay.
That's a magical space. Good success story.
Yeah, for anyone listening, what street is the community garden on?
It's on PCH.
South Laguna.
It's like right down here, right? Yeah.
Everyone probably already knows.
South Laguna, right in the middle of the village, front and center. Which is a good part of the story of South Laguna.
Really?
And they have, like the Henderson House Garden, they have all kinds of events there aside from individual plots that people, you know, participate with.
Oh, wow.
They have educational events. They have food events. They have potlucks.
I think once a week they pick whatever is ripe.
Where have I been?
At that garden, and they bring it to Friendship Shelter.
That is really cool.
Oh, we've made more than one huge salad out of what's come out of the community garden in Laguna Beach.
Oh, cool. That's good to know.
Yeah. Tommy J hooked us up with that.
Thanks, Tommy J.
Yeah. We've had some fun things, Mark, that you've been involved with at Henderson House, too, in our garden. It's part of what makes it unique is we have community-wide events like a salsa contest.
Ooh.
Or a pumpkin carving day, family day.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, it's... I mean, I love those events, right? First of all, they're really fun. A lot of kids from the neighborhood come by, and they're so appreciative that there's something for them to do. You know, that there's something somewhere in their neighborhood for them to go play a little bit. But it also, I think, again, you know, it's like it makes the neighborhood safer and healthier.
Yep.
When we do those kinds of things and. Yep. And, you know, and in our small way, you know, the exchange, the cultural exchange that happens when we all get together and say we're going to try 10, 12 different salsas from families all over the neighborhood and we're going to share that experience together. It makes us neighbors, not just people who live in the same neighborhood.
Yep.
Yeah. For Halloween, we handed out and carved over 30 pumpkins in the rain.
That's right. I remember that story. That's so cool.
In the rain. And I would just say this. All the adults, right? Like, all the adults are standing around going, what are we going to do? It's raining. I don't think one kid even noticed it was raining.
Right. That was fun. And there's a good story, you know, talking about interactions between neighborhood kids and Henderson House folks. One of the residents, you know, we kind of plan this event. And they can be big events and they can be disruptive. We have it in a patio where residents live. I mean, this is where they live. And, you know, there may have been a little trepidation about how much activity there would be and, you know, is this going to be disruptive on a Saturday morning and all that. And so, but when the event actually happened, the residents that had initially had a concern completely embraced it. And started helping carving, started helping painting. And when it rained, this person who is a private person, invited kids in. Said, bring the food into my apartment. The kids are coming in there and sitting and getting their faces painted and all this kind of thing. So, you know, it's another wall that came down on that on that day.
Absolutely. And I would just say to the young people who live in that building where the garden is, because you're right, that... You know, you walk out your front door of that building and the garden is about, 10 feet away.
Right.
It's not like it's in the back 40 somewhere. I would just say their willingness to open up, to invite people into, you know, the courtyard where they live and to engage and be part of that is something very special for them to do that. There was, you know, because at times, you know, Jim, there has been, maybe a suggestion that what, you know, that what you really need to do in neighborhoods like that is just, you know, tighten everything up, shut everything down, and, you know, make sure no one can go anywhere, do anything, be anything, because then, you know, there'll be less trespassing, there'll be less, you know, young people smoking cigarettes, drinking liquor, you know, smoking pot, or, you know, whatever kids do when they don't have anything to do.
Right.
And I think our response to that has been, let's not do that. Let's not shut this neighborhood down. Let's not limit, you know, opportunities for people. Let's give people better choices of what to do and how to spend their time, and hope that they'll make those choices.
Yes,
you know, because even, you know, I was standing around when we did a summer barbecue, and that's where we had the salsa contest and those kinds of things. And we partnered with that event. We partnered with the Mission Hospital, Marcy Mednick, who we both know.
That's right.
And has been very supportive of Friendship Shelter, Henderson House, and our community garden. I was worried about, because when you think about it, right, to me, I'm looking at it, and it's a bunch of people, and, you know, we grilled some awesome corn, and we had the mayonnaise and the cheese and the chili and the lime. It was really good grilled corn. But when you look at it, it is just a bunch of people standing around eating grilled corn, some hot dogs, and a salsa contest, and those kinds of things. And I was worried that from Marcy's perspective as a public health person, that this wasn't worth her time or her investment. And someone said to Marcy, well, Marcy, are you happy with this? And Marcy, with this big smile on her face, said, oh, absolutely, this is fantastic. This is public health 101.
Right.
And this is what every neighborhood should have as a starting point.
Yes.
And she was extremely pleased with that.
Yeah.
These are people coming together and celebrating their community and their neighborhood in a healthy, peaceful way. And
meeting each other, and I will say on that day that I recognized some of the kids who have been trouble in the gardens in the past, leaving trash and that kind of thing, but they were there participating, and so they saw, they got to see a different way. The garden was, you know, a positive thing for the neighborhood.
And that's what I said, you know, is that I want those kids to come and see what's going on in the garden, and I want them to see their little brothers and sisters and their little nieces and nephews playing in the garden, planting, reading stories, eating salsa, doing what they're doing. And then hopefully the next time, you know, they're looking for some place to hang out. So it'll be like, we can't do it there. You know, that's
right.
That's where little kids go to have stories read to them. Let's not put beer cans there.
Right.
Right?
Exactly right.
We can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a music break?
Okay, let's do that.
All right, what do you want to talk about when you get back, Jim Dockstetter? What time is it? It's only 9:45.
Yeah, let's talk about kind of some more of the elements that are in the garden that make it unique.
All right, okay, let's do that.
Ooh, I'm excited.
All right, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to The Friendship Show here on KX93.5. Thanks for listening. Merry Christmas.
Time goes. Where does this road lead? No.
Welcome back to the Friendship Show here on KX93.5. My name is Mark Miller. I'm here with my Christmas partner, Amanda Pointer.
Good morning.
Tommy J just walked into the building. He's going to do a show this morning.
How about that? I'm so excited.
I would just say this. If Tommy J is here doing a show, I imagine he arrived in a sleigh.
He does look rather festive.
I bet he did. I bet he drove a sleigh to work today. Jim Dockstetter is our guest this morning.
Yes.
I think of him as the creator of the community garden down at Henderson House. He certainly has been the person over the last 6 years who has made sure that garden has survived.
So cool.
Sometimes when it was not easy, he made sure that garden has survived. I think the garden is thriving right now.
It is.
I think the garden is as good as I've ever seen it. Yeah. I will say that Gabriel, our facilities manager, he was out. I'll tell you this about Gabriel. He's a junk shopper at heart. He pulled some old iron thing out of somebody's trash the other day. And as soon as I saw it, I thought of you and I said, oh, you should give that to Jim down at the garden. He'll want to grow something on that. Yes. It's a really cool scrolly, you know, kind of irony sort of thing. And it looks like it's, you know, antique, whatever. And he said, that's what I got it. I thought that Jim might want to do that.
Actually, a lot of the garden is found, salvaged, recycled stuff. So we have metal headboards from beds, all kinds of interesting trellis material that's in there. The whole garden started that way, which is a good part of the story. You know, repurpose, recycle, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's a little. It's a whimsical and magical. Have you been?
I have. It looks gorgeous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd like to invite everybody. We're there always Saturday mornings at 9, unless it's this morning when I'm on the radio show. But we do a lot of our prep work and weeding and meeting people and exchanging Saturday mornings at 9, and there are fun things to see in the garden. We have a little free library that's great.
That's right. And isn't there something else that happens on Saturday at the garden, Mark?
Well, I mean,
we have a radio personality come read the kids.
That's right. That's what I hear.
Well, I mean, we're trying, right? We're trying. We're trying to get this sort of Saturday morning sort of program started so that every Saturday morning there's something that's going on in the garden. I've been down there and I've read stories a few times.
Right, that's so cool.
We're working on it. It's still in a developmental stage.
It is. It's been hit and miss a little bit in the holiday season, but it's a neighborhood that needs this kind of thing.
Right.
And one of my favorite things recently was when Mark was reading to some kids about a vegetable patch. It was a story about a vegetable garden somewhere. I'm picking fresh broccolini and snap peas and bringing it over to the kids to eat while they're hearing the story.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing, you guys.
And we bribe them with hot chocolate and apple cider sometimes.
We do.
Anything.
We do. Exactly. We do. We're not. It's like you got to know what works, right?
Yeah.
I'd love you to come just because you come, but if I grill a bunch of hot dogs, does that make it, does that make it easier for you to decide? I can grill some hot dogs.
If I give you a hot dog, will you eat the broccoli and snap pea?
And there's another story about reading hour that shows, you know, that the garden's there and people choose to participate with it in a lot of different ways. Somebody from Ladera Ranch read about the garden. She did a book drive for us, which is great for the little free library. But when she came, she saw that I had on the chalkboard, you know, reading hour with Mark on Saturday mornings. We read at the little free library. And she got inspired further, and you know, she chose to do a stuffed animal drive because she read somewhere in hospitals that kids pay more attention if they're playing with little stuffed animals. So she did a stuffed animal drive in her neighborhood and donated several bags of stuffed animals so that when we have reading hour now, kids can have a buddy and sit there and listen and eat vegetables and drink hot chocolate.
Aww.
And again, I would just say, you know, for a lot of the children and a lot of the families who live in that neighborhood, the look of appreciation and gratitude and wonder that they have on their faces when they get to do something like that. Mm-hmm. It's so fulfilling, first of all, right? That you would be able to create or help create that kind of feeling.
Yep. There's a lot of pride in their participation. And actually, I mean, a lot of these kids go on to their elementary or middle schools, and they're leaders, you know, in their school garden there,
right?
Because they've been planting, you know, for a while at the El Jardín and at Henderson House.
And this is, you know, sort of the way that I talk about this to people sometimes is, for all of the things that we care about, right, and all of the things that probably everyone in this room works on, right, issues around poverty and homelessness and poor health and, addiction and all of those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Truly what that garden is doing is a prevention program, an early intervention and prevention program, so that those kids who have those opportunities, and this is proven, this is in the data, that if we do these kinds of things with the children in that neighborhood, these kids who are already at risk of all of the things that I just mentioned, their risk drops considerably, that those will not be issues for them going forward.
Yeah. They're interacting with other people when we plant stuff. You know, they have to be patient. They have to take turns. They have to help other people.
Sure.
They're making an investment of their time and seeing a reward months later. Those are all really good, right, really good things for kids to learn.
Right. And in our culture, how we're so, like, impulsive, we want instant gratification. They're learning, you know, plant a seed, water it. It takes time and watch it grow.
Exactly.
They're not even realizing they're learning that, but I think that's so important. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you have to take care of the soil and you have to take care of the water and all of these kinds of things. All of these things need to exist. And then take that out to the world.
Right. Yep.
Which they do.
Right.
It takes all of these things for the garden to exist. Think of your life as a garden.
And gardening is like meditation sometimes. I mean, right? I've heard
sometimes it's just hauling a bunch of heavy stuff. But
No, but it is. I mean, like I said before, everybody uses the garden in their own way. They come and they volunteer or they donate. Some people, a lot of the residents over the years, commune at night and 2 a.m. They go out there and commune with the owls or you know, look at the stars or go around the garden and see what's going on. That's their time.
Right.
So people have found, you know, their own way to relate to this thing.
Right.
To this thing that Friendship Shelter and others have created there.
Yeah, this thing that's alive and growing.
Definitely.
That's beautiful. Ba-bum. That's so beautiful.
I think so. It's my new favorite pet project. At Friendship. I'll say this on air so that people take it back. I was just recently. I just celebrated 10 years at Friendship Shelter.
That's right.
Right.
Congratulations.
And so one of the wonderful things that Friendship Shelter does is that if you last 10 years, and by the way, only 2 people ever have, if you last 10 years at Friendship Shelter, you get $5,000 from the organization to put towards any area or project in the organization that you would like to see get a little extra bump of funding. So after the first of the year, Mr. Doc Stetter, my $5,000 is going to you in the community garden.
Oh.
Yay.
Yay.
I appreciate that, and I will definitely help with that.
All right.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Before we go, because we're running out of time, you're involved in other things around the county. This isn't your only project. You're a bit of a do-gooder.
Maybe. But, I have a lot of different kinds of projects, like I said before, but... one of my favorite kind of projects this year that I've been involved with is 4 other homeless housing projects in Orange County that are not only creating themselves to serve a community, an underserved community, but they're embracing this idea of garden as therapy and garden as helpful, positive influence on their campuses. So all these 4 shelters, there's one in Santa Ana, 70-room, there's going to be a new 12-room one in Newport Beach, one that's just being completed now in Midway City, and another in...
Hey, I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you. Where in Newport Beach? Is it on Placentia?
No, it's on Newport Shores Drive, right where the channel comes out at Coast Highway. And it's been an apartment building, and it's going to be converted to homeless housing for vets.
Oh,
and it'll have a strong edible component, interactive garden component with raised beds and orchard trees and that kind of thing.
Mm,
and wonderful. As will the 70-room housing development in Santa Ana. It'll have a huge community garden, not only for residents but the bigger community. And the Ecology Center is involved in both of those, too, with me. But those are very fun and rewarding projects. And it'll be great going forward, like at Henderson House, to see how that community uses that garden and interacts with it. And it'll continue to evolve and get better and better over, you know, a long period of time, I hope.
All right.
Awesome.
Do you see why we had Jim Dockstetter as our guest?
Absolutely. It's been so awesome having you.
Thank you.
He is the spirit of Christmas.
He is. Christmas is all around.
All right. Ida May just blew into the studio.
She did. We're going to have a show after this, too.
We're going to have, there's going to be a show.
Another Christmas special.
Exactly. The Tommy J. Ida May Christmas special is coming up next. Jim Dockstetter, thank you so much for coming in on Saturday morning.
Thank you. It was fun.
Christmas Eve day. That's why we haven't had you on before, because you're usually working for us at this time.
I am.
All right.
And I will be going there after this.
All right. Let's just say, you know, once or twice a year that we'll figure out some way to get you on the show. Okay. Maybe we can figure out some way to do a show from the garden.
That's a good idea.
That would be fun.
Our salsa contest day.
That would be fun.
You should consult Jason Fetty about that. He'll know.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to look into it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, this is it, people. After this, we're going to break, and then the Christmas countdown is on.
It's on.
All right. You've been listening to The Friendship Show here on KX93.5. We'll be back. We're going to do a New Year's Eve show next week.
That's right, you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh. All right. Do we have a guest for that?
Not yet.
All right. Well, we'll get one.
We've got some prospects.
All right. We'll get a good one. All right, up next, Tommy J, Ida May, they're going to do some radio neighboring. We'll be back next week at 9 o'clock.
One love for you, one love for me. Give a little love to everyone that you see.